Our New Testament lesson this morning is from Romans, the last chapter, 16, verses 1 through 27. This is another of Paul's letters, and this one is a letter of greetings and introductions, salutation. And although the words are from Paul, it was actually written by an assistant like Secretary Tertius. And of interest, Silas's name in Hebrew kind of means Tertius. Tertius is a Latin name, which befits a letter to the Romans. Listen to the word of the Lord. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Cenchrea, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you. For she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Greet Prissa and Aquila, who work with me in Christ Jesus, and who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked very hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who were in prison with me. They are prominent among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Meet my relative, Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Meet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patorabas, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep an eye on those who cause dissensions and offenses in opposition to the teaching that you have learned. Avoid them. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the simple-minded. For while your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, I want you to be wise in what is good and guileless in what is evil. The God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my relatives. I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we skip over those passages in Scripture when there's the genealogies or the beginning and the endings of the letters in the New Testament. But in a lot of those things, there's theology and there's other instructive things in there too. So when we start this letter to the church in Rome, we hear about one of the people who has been leading one of the churches. And when we read it in English, we don't necessarily know whether those names are male or female. But when we look at them and you pull up your Bible dictionary, you'll find that there's quite a few women who are listed in there. Not just as helpers or benefactors who were just kind of following the rest of the crowd, but as women pastors, as women elders and deacons, and a whole host of other things. But that's for another time, because we're just going to look at Phoebe today. We know very little about Phoebe. There's only about 50 words that describe this woman, but for most people who are in this list, they might only get a few, and Phoebe gets 50. She was named after the moon goddess. Another name for Artemis is Phoebe. She was supposed to be identified, Artemis was, as with the light of the moon. And yet Phoebe follows the one who is the light of the world, Jesus. Paul so highly commends her for her faith. And he calls her by three things. He calls her sister, he calls her a servant of Christ, and he also calls her a saint. Can you imagine Paul calling you a saint? Wouldn't that be awesome? But in these, just the two verses that refer to Phoebe, he uses these three powerful words to describe her. The first description he uses is sister. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. And there's something really significant in that word. In some churches, they'll call each other by sister or brother instead of Mr. or Mrs. And it's good to call each other brothers and sisters in Christ, because when we're baptized, when we join a church, when we're part of the worldwide group of Christians around the world, we gain a family that has a spiritual bond. We're still part of families, sure, but we also gain a much bigger family. As Christians, it says, we are called not only to believe, but to belong, says one pastor. What a blessing that we don't have to live alone. We're not meant to live Lone Ranger lives. Instead, we are called to belong to Christ's family as members of his body. And you know what? Just like in our other human families, being part of a family comes with responsibilities. The Bible says in Hebrews, let us consider how to stimulate one another on to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's really easy to love each other on Sundays when we're here together. But we're also called to love each other and to love the community outside of those days as well, all during the week. If we're like Phoebe, then we take our relationship with our sisters and our brothers seriously. We take those relationships, and we call each other and know each other children of God. And when we do that, we call those other people precious, and we care for them as God would want us to care for them. So there's no greater honor than being called a brother or a sister in God's family. Paul then goes on to describe Phoebe with a second word, servant. Look again at Romans. It says, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church. Two things in churches that we tend to emphasize are, you know, being kind of like a family or spending a lot of time in fellowship. But it's not just getting together and having a good time or eating a meal with someone. When we're together as a family, we don't rush to the front of the line. Although sometimes the kids do that, don't they? Okay. No, teasing. We don't put ourselves first. We try to put others first and see how we can meet their needs. And sometimes there's times when they can meet ours as well. And so it's essential, yes, to be part of a fellowship and part of a family, but we're also called to serve each other. So Phoebe was not just a member of this spiritual family, a professing believer. She was also a servant of the church. And the word here used for servant is the Greek word diakonos, which is one of the places where we get the word for deacon or minister. Phoebe was ministering to or serving God's people. Some people think that the only people who can do ministry are people who are dressed in robes or who maybe are standing at the pulpit. But no, each one of us is called to minister to others, to demonstrate God's love to them, to be the hands and feet of Christ. So each time you reach out to others, each time you love your neighbor as yourself, you're ministering to them. And the church ministers in a number of different ways. We minister to physical needs, emotional needs, relational needs, spiritual needs. Sometimes just the act of prayer is a way to serve other people. So each time we reach out and give a cup of cool water, says Jesus, in his name, we are ministering to them. Unfortunately, sometimes in our churches, we like to talk about serving and don't get down to the serving, or we spend a lot of time talking in committees or putting out lists, and sometimes we just need to sign up and do it, to come along and minister to others. I heard a story about a preacher who was approached by a man who was joining the church, and he said, you know what, I'm just really busy. You know, I can't sign up for special projects. I can't come in the evenings. You know, I get home from work and it's late. You know, I'm probably not going to be able to come to a Bible study. You know, not going to be able to serve at the soup kitchen, yada, yada. And the pastor says, well, I'm just not sure this is the church for you. You know, maybe you should go to that church. It's about, you know, four blocks down the street over on the left-hand side. You know, maybe that's the church for you. And so the man goes and walks down the street to the other church, and it's boarded up, and it's closed, and it's abandoned. If we wait for others to do it, it will eventually close churches. You see, we're not just called to come together on a Sunday morning. We're called to go out and serve. And so what begins here with serving each other and ministering to this community then goes out and spreads into the world. But if we're just a church that or people who come to be served, then we will be dead on the inside as well as the outside of our church building. And so the Bible says, just as there are many members of one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise those accordingly. If his or her gift is teaching, or he who exhorts, speak it. With he who leads, lead with diligence. With she who has mercy, lead with cheerfulness. If he who teaches, listen to teaching. And those who prophesy, prophesy according to their faith. And if service, she should lead in service. God gives us special talents or gifts or abilities. Some of those are from your profession. Some of those are just part of being faithful. There are so many different passages in Scripture that list different spiritual gifts. Those are meant not only to edify the body of believers, but also to minister to the world. Each one of us has been given different gifts. And if you're missing out, we're missing out. Because maybe you've been given a gift that no one else has, or maybe you've been given a gift that a whole lot of other people have, but together we can do something so much bigger together than by ourselves. And so the place where this all comes together is in service. Phoebe was evidently a woman of means, and she used her wealth to support the church and the Apostle Paul. And while we're not certainly all people of great wealth, we all have something to give. The place where success comes before work is in the dictionary, But that's not supposed to be in the church. Success looks more like being faithful every day. And we can do so much more when we serve together. The last word that Paul uses to describe Phoebe is as a saint. And I mentioned, wouldn't it be great if Paul described us that way? But why did he say that? Paul told the Roman Christians to receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. So why did he call her a saint? She wasn't dead yet. She hadn't proclaimed, you know, any miracles. Nothing had been done in her name. The reason she's called a saint is because she's been baptized. And believe it or not, we are all the saints. There's those who come before us. There are those who are with us. There are those who have already passed on. But God is the one who makes us holy. God is the one that through our baptism justifies us. And sanctification is the process for the rest of our lives. See, God declares us holy, but being a Christian is like character development. It grows over time. It's something that you get good at over time, but we need God's Holy Spirit to do it. Because if we're on our own, we know what willpower looks like. We know what New Year's resolutions look like. You know, by February and Valentine's Day, you've already blown your New Year's resolution. On our own, we can only get so far. But God helps us develop not only our internal moral character, he also helps us to develop our spiritual character as well. And so our baptism is just the beginning of that. The Bible says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is within you. But do this with gentleness and respect. Sanctifying God in our hearts means also that our thoughts and our feelings, as well as our attitudes and behaviors, become more and more conformed to be like Christ. It's that process of being holy and becoming holy. But Christ's ultimate goal on earth is not for our comfort, not to keep us the same as when we first walked in the door. It's character and personal development. But even God's Holy Spirit can have a hard time working if we don't listen and work with God's Spirit. God also gives us scripture as a way to learn and teach ourselves what God would have us to be. But it's sad how many people in our country actually know anything about their Bible. We need to look up who the other sister was in our story this morning. 48% of Americans only open their Bible once a week. 40% of Americans can only name 4 out of the 10 commandments. 64% of Americans cannot name the 4 Gospels. 58% of Americans do not know that it was Jesus that preached the Sermon on the Mount. 10% of Americans think that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And 82% of Americans believe that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is in Scripture. We need to be teaching Sunday school and allow it to also be affecting us as well. It's one thing to say, oh, it's in the Bible, and it's another thing to say, I know it's there, and this is how it's taught me. Jesus said for us, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. If we don't read our Bibles and know its truth, we'll have a hard time being more and more conformed to be like Christ. So it's not enough to simply read God's word. We have to absorb it and live it out. It's the difference between knowing something and letting it affect you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, now flee from your youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So it's not just our talk, it's also our walk. It's living out what we think and believe. The Holy Spirit will help us stay on the straight and narrow. We're not called to do this by ourselves. God's word is the light to our path, as the song just said. But on the path to spiritual maturity, we're going to come up against different temptations. And rather than blaming Satan for all the things that he puts in our path, you can look at them as opportunities. Opportunities where God is allowing you to make a choice to choose the right, to choose what he would have you choose rather than saying, oh gosh, here we go again. But the pattern gets easier and easier the more you do it, the more you step into God's will. But it takes time to develop a Christian character in our lives. Paul encouraged the church in Philippi, saying this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet." See, we think of Paul as having, you know, gotten there, but he was still developing over the whole course of his whole life. And I'm sure being in prison had something to do with being able to concentrate on that as well. "But one thing I do," he says, "forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Can you imagine what the world would be like, what the church would be like, if every Christian were to try to live out the things that they say they believe? We might just turn the world upside down for good. Because churches grow when Christians grow. And churches are on the move when we as Christians are on the move and serving others. And it's really that simple. Not just to say it, but to mean it and live it out. And so who was Phoebe? Who do we take with us from here? Phoebe was a servant who was willing to use her talents for ministry. She was a sister. She was a vital part of God's family. And she was also a saint, someone to be emulated, someone who was growing personally in her faith, and someone who was created to be like Christ. And each one of us can be those three things, can be a sister or a brother, can be a servant to each other, and can be a saint, even this side of heaven.